Karamathion. Jesus is not a political leader like Israel wanted him to be. He was not a political leader. In Judaism, there were the Herodians, there were the Sicarii, there were the Sadducees, and there were the Pharisees. And Jesus was not one of any of them. In verse number, chapter 16 and verse number 20 here, it starts out as tote diestelato, tois mathetes, hina, medine, eposin, hote, autos, estin, ho, Christos. We have started out with a little adverb of time here, tote. Then he warned. He sent thoroughly for himself. Dia stellato. He warned, alarmed, told them completely and thoroughly, through and through, the one's disciples, in order that no, not even one, they might tell that he is the Christ. Don't tell anybody that I'm the Christ. Why in the world would he do that? Don't tell them that I am the Christ. Did he tell the woman there at the Samaria in John, the fourth chapter, that he was the Christ? Plainly. Told her plainly. She said to Jesus, when he comes, the Messiah, he shall tell us all things. And Jesus told her very plainly, I that speak to you am he. And she was thrilled. And those Samaritans believed. But now, what Jesus is warning his disciples about is the political parties. The political parties. I don't want to start a revolution. What I'm going to do is to give the world salvation. The Messiah was not going to come back or come the first time as he will in great glory here in Revelation the 19th chapter verses 11 through 16, but he will come as the Lamb of God and as the Messiah servant. The one that should die for us. Now he goes on and tells them what's going to happen. Verse number 21. Apo tote exato ho Jesus Christos dia kenein tois mathetes auto hote de auton eis Jerusalema apelthein kai pola pathein apo ton posbuteron kai arterion kai Grammation kai apokatenethene kai te trite hemera egerethene. And from then he began for himself, the Jesus Christ, to show, to point out to the one's disciples belonging to him that it is bindingly necessary him into Jerusalem to go. He's got to go to Jerusalem now. And many things, pathein, to suffer from the elders. The elders. The Sanhedrin was made up of elders and priests. The elders and the chief priest and the scribes. This is the whole Sanhedrin, the chief priest, the high priest. By the agency of the high priest and by the agency of the scribes. Who are the scribes? These are the ones that were interpreters of the law, and they were the ones that wrote down in everything in every synagogue. Now, Jesus had proved In every synagogue area that he went into, he had proved that he was Messiah, King of Israel, because of the miracles that he had done, but they couldn't do enough miracles for them to believe. Every time that Jesus healed a man, whether he was blind, a leper, lame, deaf, whatever, the scribe in that synagogue had to give him a bill of health, and he had to say how that he was healed. By the elders, by the chief priests, and by the scribes, and to be killed, murdered. And in the third day, to be raised up. It was only 6 months more to his death. Only 6 more months would he preach. And he began to prepare them that he was going to die. In Isaiah 53, it tells about that. Isaiah 53. Psalm 22, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Or Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Whichever one you want to do it in Hebrew or Aramaic. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm poured out. All my bones are out of joint. Before the art and the practice of crucifixion ever began, Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 tells us what would happen to Jesus. Before crucifixion was even invented. Verse number 22. Now we have Peter. Remember before, Peter stood up and said, "Hey, I know who you are. You're the Messiah. You're the King of Israel. You are the Son of God." And Jesus said, the local synagogue fathers and elders and scribes didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And then Jesus, we found out who the rock was. Jesus said, "You're Peter, a little stone, but upon this gigantic foundation rock I'll be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down." It didn't say the gates of hell wouldn't try. That great monster, Catholicism, grew into a monstrosity and wielded power over life and death and kings and rulers all over the Europe and even America for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. She became a monstrosity, but she was a true church at one time. You go back before 300 A.D. and the Church of Rome was actually a real Baptist, genuine church. But then she was married to the state with Constantine, and she became a monstrosity. And she began to be used by the Satan to destroy God's churches. Now let's go back. Verse number 22. Kai pros la benos auton ho petros exopto epitimon auto legon ilios si kyrie u me este si tuto. And having taken aside from the crowd him, the Peter, he began for himself to rebuke Jesus, saying, "Eliosi, may God have mercy on you." Literally, mercy to you. That's what it said, Eliosi. "Mercy to you, Lord. Know not." Adverb of negation, particle of negation. That adverb, u and me, the particle of negation. "Know not, it shall become to you this thing." Now, Jesus takes a different point of view of Peter. Hode strafes, epen to petro, hepage oposo mu satana. Skandalon e imu, hote u phrones, ta tu theu, alla ta ton anthropon. But the one having turned, Jesus, that is, he said to Peter, "You get behind me, Satan." Now he doesn't say, he doesn't call him Petros, he doesn't call him Cephas, he doesn't call him Simon, but now he calls him Satan. He describes him, Satan, one who opposes. An offense, scandalon, offense, a stumbling block, a trap, string, a bear trap. Have you ever seen a trap that trappers used to use for the beavers and for coyotes and bears? You've become a bear trap. You are, to me. Because not you understand, not that you can't put your thoughts together, the things of God, but the things of man, carnal man. Peter, just a few verses above this, was inspired by God of heaven to utter the statement that he made to Christ, but now his inspiration comes from the opposite direction, the opposite realm, the seat of darkness, the underworld. Satan now is inspiring Peter to say the words that he says. Tote ho Jesus e pantois matetes autu, etis dele, opiso mu, elthen apar ne sasto, yauton kai arato ton staron, auton kai akul letheto mu. Then the Jesus, he said to the disciples belonging to him. Since, now this word here, a there, that's a first class conditional particle, condition determined as fulfilled. Since, if one he wishes, do you see that word delay there? That third person singular present indicative active, that controls what case that particle is in. What conditional particle, what class of conditional particle is first class condition determined as fulfilled. If anyone he wishes after me to follow or to come, aparnesasto, let him design himself for himself. Look at that reflexive third personal pronoun there, he auton. Let him deny himself. And let him take, let him pick up, let him bear the cross, the stake. Now that word there is staron, which means stake. Now, the Jehovah Witnesses swear Jesus Christ was not crucified on a cross, but he was. The staros was a stake, a sharpened stake to begin with. The Ninevites invented what became crucifixion in the period of time. We look back in Mordecai and Haman. Haman had a stake put up on a platform 75 feet high. And what they were going to do with that stake, that said he was going to hang Haman. They're going to hang him. He wasn't going to hang him at all. He was going to impale him on that stake. Mm-hmm. That stake was sharpened, smooth. And they would take a person and strip all his clothes off and just pick him up and set that stake right up through his innards. And as it would go up through his rectal area and his colon and all that, it would rupture and kill and tear and destroy. And the man would bleed, slowly bleed to death. That was the stake. That was being staked. impaled. Then the Romans saw this, and they said, oh, this is a pretty good way to kill our enemies. And the only bad thing about it, they didn't last too long. They wanted them to stay there suffering like that for days, if at all possible. So they nailed her hands to the stake above and feet below. And they suffocated pretty soon, within hours, maybe a day. So they said, well, we'll take an X-type cross, and we'll nail his hands like this, and his feet stretched out like that. Still again, the man would suffocate. But then they devised a different kind of torture. That was crucifixion, and they would take a stake and put a top cross across the top of it, a bar, a beam, nail her hands out, nail her feet, and even what some people might think as a merciful thing, they put a seat on it so they could set their butt on it and rest. It wasn't mercy, but that they would live longer in that state of torture. That's the evolution of the cross. Let him bear the cross or the stake of him. Every one of us has a burden to bear. Marilyn has me.
You have me.
Yeah, and I have you. We have burdens to bear. We have children that are rebellious. Some children really make us happy, and other children, brothers and sisters, families, sometimes churches, give us a lot of grief. We have burdens to bear. And you poor people out there in foreign lands, especially behind the Iron Curtain of Islam, your lives are on stake, or at stake, or at crucifixion, beheadings, burning alive, just because you believe in Christ. We all have a burden to bear. Let him bear the cross of him, and let him follow, keep on following me. Christ was getting ready within 6 months to face the real cross of Calvary. Nearly at any time of the month, as you would go in and out of Jerusalem, you would go out to the outer gate, and somebody would be standing there are hanging there on a cross suffering, some criminal. Can you imagine Jesus walking by that so many times in the 33 years that he was upon this earth and seeing these people crucified and knowing someday that he would be there? The humility, the inhumanity to humanity, that was taking place, and he knew that it was going to happen to him. Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain from before the very foundation of the world, before anything was laid out and set in stone, so to speak. In the eternal plans and mind of God, Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain from before the foundation, before the literally laying of the foundation of the world. Literally. The blueprints were there, but the foundation was not laid. There was not one planet out there, not one star. Nothing. Jesus tasted the cross of Calvary from that period of time onward. But in space and time, Jesus, God, would become flesh. Kaiho Logos Sarx Agenito. And the Word, Jehovah, flesh, he became and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus told his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You saw the essence of the Father. You've seen all the God you're ever going to see. I am the material manifestation of God. And that material manifestation of God, born of a woman, made of a woman born under the law, would die on the cross of Calvary. For God gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him might be saved and have eternal life. Christ on the cross was ahead of Him. His disciples were very familiar with the cross and very familiar with the figure of speech of bearing their cross, because the criminals had to bear at least the cross beam of that cross to Calvary, to Mount Calvary. The crucifixion of criminals in Jerusalem. Jesus' statement to Peter, was a very harsh statement, because his inspiration did not come from God now, but it came from Satan. Peter, you want to follow me? Pick up your cross and come on, boy. Now, what kind of a death would Peter die from? Remember? Peter would be crucified. He would die crucified. Legend tells us that he would be crucified upside down, because he did not feel worthy of dying like his Savior did. But that dying grace hadn't come to Peter yet. Peter's just real human right here, real carnal. Verse number 25, Hos gar eon teleitein sike alto sose apolese altein hos di on apolese tein sike alto eneken emu urese altein. For whosoever he may wish. Now here we have a different thing. Before, we had a first-class conditional particle that says, if or since you want to follow me, since you will have a cross to bear. Absolutely, you will have a cross to bear. But now, we have volition. Here. If you want to follow me, or since you want to follow me, is what he said, then you're going to have a cross to bear. Now, he tells them that it is their volition, if they wish. For whoever he may wish the life of him to save, he shall lose it. Whosoever he may lose the life of him for the sake of me, he shall find it. Actually, he shall find her is what it says. The word life there is in feminine. He shall find her. 16:26. Ti gar ophelethesite anthropos ion ton cosmon holon kerdese tein de sike auton ze miothe a ti dose anthropos anta logma te sikeis autein. For what he shall be benefited, that word ophelio there, he shall be benefited, a man, if the whole world, the entire world he might gain, but the life of him he may lose. Or what he shall give a man in exchange of the life of him. It reminds me so much when Charles B. Gatewood, Lieutenant Charles B. Gatewood, General George Crook was over the Apache Indians there in Arizona, in New Mexico. And he was replaced by a very dishonest general. And the general gave Charles B. Gatewood, he was going to go out, he took 20,000 men in the field. And they couldn't catch 28 Apache Indians. They were going after them, they're going to leave them alone, they're going to chase them down. They couldn't catch those Geronimo's Indians, Geronimo's tribe, his personal bodyguard. They couldn't catch him. They'd escaped. Geronimo had surrendered several times. You know, the old story about John Geronimo kept breaking his word. Geronimo didn't keep breaking his word. The United States government kept breaking its word. What had happened is that every time that he would go to Turkey Creek or wherever they would surrender, the local white people were going to have him hung. And the United States government wasn't too adequate in controlling their white forces. So just about the time that he figured that he was going to be hung and they were going to come out there with the Tucson Club or whatever, he'd take off. Well, this general sent Charles B. Gatewood with a Apache scout to go into Geronimo's stronghold. And Gatewood risked his life. Gatewood and Geronimo were personal friends, but yet on opposite sides. Jim General had told Geronimo that he would have to go to Florida for a while, for a short time, and that they would come back to his land. It was a lie. Total lie, and Gatewood knew it. And Gatewood, before he was sent out, asked the general, "Are you going to keep your word?" The general would not tell him he was going to keep his word. He was going to lie. And Gatewood looked at that man in the eyes and quoted this verse here. "What? If you get all of this done, sir, by hook and crook and lies, what will you profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul?" The general, even though he had nothing, he had totally failed in the capture of Geronimo, and he would have never done anything if it hadn't been by Charles B. Gatewood. By the way, if you're listening out there, there is a story on the border with Crook by Charles B. Gatewood. You can listen to his own words. He wrote the story, Lieutenant Charles B. Gatewood. If you watch the movie Geronimo, that's very accurate. Very accurate. It just doesn't tell you the times that the Tucson Social Club was going to come out and to hang Geronimo. And the government wasn't doing much to discourage them. Well, he went up there. He told Geronimo those things. And to a real man, his word is his honor. Gatewood would not tell Geronimo. He would not give him his word. When it come time meeting with the general wanted to have an interpreter. Interpret. Geronimo could speak English, but he wanted to speak his own language in this, what we call negotiations. Geronimo went there, and the general came there. And he would speak to Geronimo, and Geronimo would just look off in the sky. Because he had his interpreter. And Geronimo didn't believe that interpreter had no honor. Mm-hmm. He would not talk to him through that interpreter. This went on for hours. Geronimo finally got up and left. So they come back again. The wonderful general finally decided if he's going to talk to Geronimo, and Gatewood got him there, that he's going to have to talk to him on Geronimo's terms, through a trusted interpreter. Tom Horn was one of the interpreters. Gatewood could interpret, but there are other interpreters. It was an honor to interpret for Geronimo. But you had to be trusted. Geronimo did surrender. And they took all of the volunteer Indian scouts and imprisoned them with what they called the renegades. All of them went to Florida. They took their rifles away from them. They took their honor from them. All of them, they treated them all as if they were criminals because of their criminal general that took care of the Indian problem. They sent Gatewood off away. The general gave somebody else the honor as saying that he caused the surrender. He would never give Gatewood the honor as the man who brought Geronimo in, that talked him into surrender. Politics. We've always had bad politics, haven't we? We've got bad politics here in Kern County. This is one of the worst in the nation. I think it's worse than Chicago or New York City or any slime ball area. And there was bad politics in Jesus' time. We had the Romans. Had the Sicarii, the cutthroats, the mafia, the Jewish mafia. You had the Herodians. You had the Pharisees. You had the Sadducees, which stood on opposite sides. Then you had all these priests and elders that were all right from the bottom gutters of hell. Male gar ho huius tu anthropu. Erkeste en te doxa, doxa that is, tu patros autu, metaton angelon autu kai tote apodose hecasto tata tain proxin auto. For the Son of Man, he is about to come in the glory of the Father of him, with the angels of him, and then he shall pay back apodidomi to each one according to the conduct of him. We talked about wages, the rewards this morning. We talked about stewardship and we talked about rewards this morning. Yes, what you've done against Christ or for Christ, you'll carry it all the way to your eternity. All of you evangelistic atheists and agnostics out there, what you do in this life against Christ, it will follow you into eternity. You blasphemers, what you do in this life is going to follow you into eternity. And people of God, what you do in this life will follow you into eternity. Amen, lego himen hote. Asen, tenes, ton, ude. Eso, toton. Oitenes, u, me. Genoa, sonto. Thanatu. Eos, on, edusen, ton, huion, tu, anthropu. Erkomenon. En, te, basilia, autu. Truly I say to you all that these are some of the ones here standing right now, having stood actually, that's a perfect participle, having stood who know not, they may taste death, know not they, may taste death for themselves until they may see the Son of Man coming in the glory into the kingdom of Him. What happened on the Mount of Transfiguration when Moses and Elijah were there? What happened when they saw the angels escort Jesus back into heaven? That was the fulfillment of this. And right in verse number 17, chapter in verse number 1, we begin the transfiguration. Let's go back and read these verses from the Amplified Bible. From verse 16 and verse 20. Then he sternly and strictly charged and warned the disciples to tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time forward, Jesus began clearly to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the high priest and the scribes, and to be killed, and on the third day to be raised from the dead. Then Peter took him aside to speak to him privately, and he began to reprove and charge him sharply, saying, God forbid, Lord, this must never happen to you. And then Jesus turns away from Peter and said to him, get behind me, Satan. You're in my way. You are an offense and a hindrance and a snare to me. For you are minding what partakes not of nature and quality of God, but of man. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any one of you desires to be my disciple, actually that's not if there, that's since. Since you really want to be my disciple, let him deny himself, that is, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interest, and take up his cross and follow me, cleave steadily to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. For whosoever is bent on saving his temporal life, his comfort and security here, shall lose the chance at eternal life. Whoever loses his life, his comfort and security here, for my sake, shall find life everlasting. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life, his blessed life in the kingdom of God? Or what would a man give as an exchange for his blessed life in the kingdom of God? The honor, the glory? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory and majesty and splendor of his Father with his angels. And then he will render account and reward for every man in accordance with what he has done. That's that coming right over here. This is that time right here, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. To all of those in this church age shall be Anastasia, resurrected. This is the day of the resurrection. This is the Easter, the feast of first fruits. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste of death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. If you're out there and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is the perfect time for you to do that. You can have eternal life right now. How would you like to know that you can go to heaven and that when you die and close your eyes in death, that you will be instantly with the Lord? You're going to be one place or the other. You're going to be instantly in Hades in that eternal file 13, or you will be with the Lord. What you do now is what sets in stone, super glue, where you're going to spend eternity. Our Father, we send this message out that it might bring honor and glory to you, to your Son. Father, I pray that you send your Spirit with this message wherever it goes in the world. That you comfort the students, the people out there that will hear your word. That it may glorify you, that with your Spirit that you might convict them of sin, righteousness, judgment to come,
and that they will be convicted to serve you, to give of their life, their monies, and their energies to glorify you and to advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name we